Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, June 16, 2024, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, Father, that you have, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verse 12 says, as a matter of fact, therefore, the Mosaic law is holy. Also, the commandment, and he's talking specifically about the 10th commandment, you shall not lust, is holy and righteous and intrinsically good. The Mosaic law was given to us by God. God is perfect. The Mosaic law is perfect. The Mosaic law has a specialized objective. It doesn't do everything, and it has been distorted by legalism into a false gospel and false spirituality. Keeping the works of the Mosaic law cannot save you. And this is Galatians 2:16. The Apostle Paul is the author, human author of Romans. The Apostle Paul is the human author of Galatians. And he says, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified, you're not imputed with the righteousness of God and declared to be righteous by the works of the law, by your works, who and what you are doing by way of works. But you're justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Even as we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified, declared righteous, by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, ume shall no flesh, no member of the human race, be justified or declared righteous. So keeping the works of the Mosaic Law cannot provide salvation for anyone. Keeping the works of the Mosaic Law is not spirituality. We are living in the dispensation of the church age. In the church age, spirituality is the filling of the Spirit. It's fulfilling the mandates that God has given us. The mandates of Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, keep on walking, keep on living your life by the power of the Spirit, and then you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Keeping the works of the Mosaic Law is not the way of divine blessing. The Mosaic Law makes a lot of demands on the human race to show the human race that we have a problem. And that problem is a bad marriage to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life. And then the Mosaic Law points to the solution, Codex number 2, Christology and Soteriology, which is presented in shadow form. And then verse 13, the first part of verse 13 sounds like this. Therefore, did what is intrinsically good, the Mosaic Law, become the cause of spiritual death for me? Meganoita, emphatically not. The Mosaic Law is intrinsically good, and therefore the intrinsically good Mosaic Law is not the cause of spiritual death, simply because it exposes the sin nature as being sinful and the cause of spiritual death. The intrinsically good Mosaic Law exposes the old sin nature as a bad and sinful. The sin nature is the real culprit, not the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law is holy and righteous and intrinsically good, Romans 7, verse 12. And Meganoita in verse 13 says it is absolutely unthinkable to say that the intrinsically good Mosaic Law is the cause of spiritual death just because it exposes the sin nature as being utterly sinful. On the contrary, the Mosaic Law served its basic purpose of making the sin nature known that it is utterly sinful. And we have in verse 13 the verb katergazomai, only which means to achieve, to accomplish. The sin nature with its lust patterns revealed by the 10th commandment accomplished the objective of showing the Apostle Paul that he came into the world spiritually dead. Only one sin condemns the human race, and that one sin is Adam's original sin in the garden, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Turn over to Romans 5, 12. Romans 5, 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and spiritual death through sin, and so spiritual death spread to all men, all mankind, because all sinned when Adam sinned. So only one sin condemns the human race, Adam's original sin in the garden, Romans 5:12. The original sin of Adam is then imputed to each one of us at the point of physical birth. At physical birth, there are two imputations that take place. The imputation of human life to the soul, we're born physically alive, and the imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed old sin nature, we are born spiritually dead. Our condemnation occurs at the moment of physical birth. Personal sin is the result. the result of having the sin nature and being in the status of spiritual death. And therefore, personal sin is not the basis of our condemnation. Personal sin is the manifestation of the sin nature's rulership over human life, but it's not the means of our condemnation. Personal sin in our life will result in divine discipline, but not condemnation. The true ministry of the Mosaic Law and Codex number 1, the commandments then, is to reveal the existence of the sin nature with its lust patterns. There is nothing wrong with the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law is perfect and reveals the perfect standards of God, and God's perfect standards are seen in His holiness. He is absolute righteousness, and the righteousness of God are the perfect standards of God. These standards reveal both the sinfulness of the sin nature and the status produced by the sin nature, spiritual death. The Mosaic Law came from God, who is perfect, and therefore the Mosaic Law is also perfect. So verse 13, therefore, did what is intrinsically good, the Mosaic Law, become the cause of spiritual death for me? Meganoita, emphatically not. But the sin nature, in order that it might be shown and revealed and exposed to be sinful, by making spiritual death a reality to me, through the intrinsic good Mosaic Law, in order that the sin nature might become utterly sinful by means of the commandments, specifically the 10th commandment, thou shalt not lust. Now in Romans 7 verse 14 is a great shift of emphasis from the sin nature as the culprit in the first marriage to the believer, the wife who is in the second marriage, who is also the culprit. The husband of the first marriage at physical birth to salvation is the sin nature. The wife of the first marriage is the unbeliever. The husband of the second marriage is the Lord Jesus Christ. The wife of the second marriage is the believer. The sin nature was the culprit of the first marriage, physical birth to salvation. Through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, there is a transition from the first marriage to the second marriage. Because of this transition from the first marriage to the second marriage, a new emphasis is placed on the wife, who now potentially is also the culprit. When the wife of the second marriage, the believer, makes bad decisions to go back to the first husband, the sin nature still in your body, and it's sending all kinds of temptations for you to make bad decisions, to get out of fellowship with God and get into Satan's cosmic system. So when the wife of the second marriage, the believer, makes those bad decisions to go back to the first husband, the sin nature, by making bad decisions to sin, to say yes to the temptations of the sin nature, now she is also the culprit. And that's what Romans 7:14 is all about. Romans 7:14 says, certainly we know that the Mosaic Law is spiritual, but I am carnal when I have been sold back into slavery under the rule of the sin nature. Now, we exegeted that last time, but we didn't give you the points on that. And I know you just feel real bad about that, but Again, verse 14, certainly we know that the Mosaic law is spiritual, but I am carnal when I have been sold back into slavery under the rule of the sin nature. One, at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, you have divorced your first husband, the sin nature, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Retroactive positional truth, we are identified with Christ in his death and burial. So at salvation, faith in Christ, and we studied all that in Romans 6. Romans 6 presents the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit, both retroactive positional truth and current positional truth, in great detail. So at salvation, faith in Christ, you have divorced your first husband, the sin nature, through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial. Two, as a believer, through faith in Christ, you are married to a new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's through the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth. You're identified with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session. We are entered into union with Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And Jesus Christ is now our new husband. You are now under the mandates, the authority, the orders of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the best. And so, and just the mentality in your thinking ought to go after, to know what Christ did for you, to know what he did for you. He gave everything so that you can have an eternal relationship with him forever and ever. He did everything. He left heaven, took on true humanity. That took huge humility to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father. And knowing everything that was going to take place, rejected by his own people, treated as a criminal, laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on his head, beaten and beaten and beaten until his closest friends could not recognize him. Carry his own cross to Golgotha, and then when he got there, he was crucified. But that was as horrible as all of that was. And he, knowing that, he knew all about you. He knew all about each one of you. And he loved you with infinite, impersonal love. And he was willing to go to that cross, and he knew that God the Father would gather up all the world's sins, billions and billions of sins, and impute them to him on the cross, pour them out on him. And he also knew that God the Father would then judge your sins in him on the cross. And you will never know what that involved. None of you will ever know what that involved. To have God the Father judge billions and billions of sins in the body of Christ. In the Old Testament, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ roared like a lion. He screamed and screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he answered, because you are holy. And for 3 hours, from 12 noon to 3 p.m., he took the judgment that you deserve, that I deserve. He took the penalty for all of that. And when you learn and concentrate on those things, why then, through the filling of the Spirit and that doctrine you have learned, that'll motivate you to make good decisions in your life. Yeah, you have a free will. You're free to make bad decisions. You're free to go back to the sin nature. You can do it if you want to. You're free to do it. God doesn't make you live the spiritual life. He doesn't make you follow His mandates. You have a volition. Yeah, you can go back. You can go back to the sin nature, back to the lust pattern. You can get back into Satan's cosmic system. But when you think about what Christ did for you, and you concentrate on that, you know what? At that point, it will motivate you. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to please Him. After all He did for me, I want to please Him. And then you'll make good decisions from your own free will. Not because Pastor Olson said, do this. I can't make anybody do anything. I wouldn't even try. All I can do is teach the God-breathed scriptures so that you can know what the truth is. You have to decide what you're going to do with that truth. You have to decide. I can't make anybody believe anything. And I wouldn't even try to do that. But when you learn these things, who and what Christ did, what He did for you when you were at your worst, and now He is your authority, now He's your new husband. You know what? I'm not going back. All the sin nature's still there and tempting you and tempting you and tempting you. But all you have to say is no. That's it. Just say no. Stay filled with the Spirit. Keep living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Develop personal love for God the Father and personal love for Jesus Christ. Occupation with Christ. And have impersonal love for all. God has a plan for you that is phenomenal, fantastic. Choose for God. Choose for Jesus Christ. So as a believer, through faith in Christ, you're married to a new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth. Three. But the carnal reversionistic believer, the believer living in Satan's cosmic system, hasn't changed his ways. He's gone right back to the sin nature, the ex-husband. Four, you were making bad decisions in the first marriage, and now, in the second marriage, you're still making bad decisions. You were making bad decisions in the first marriage, and now, in the second marriage, you're still making bad decisions. Five. Even though you have an infinitely greater husband in the Lord Jesus Christ, by your own bad decision, you're the product of your own decision. Don't go blaming anybody else. Even though you have an an infinitely greater husband than the Lord Jesus Christ. By your own bad decisions, you place yourself back under the rule of the sin nature. Now you're out of fellowship with God. Now you're living in Satan's cosmic system. Now you're living the carnal reversionistic life. Not the spiritual life that God has for you, but the carnal reversionistic life that the sin nature and Satan has for you. 6. In the second marriage, the husband is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect God. In the second marriage, the husband is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect God. And the marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit, and He is perfect God. So, the only culprit in the second marriage is the believer, the carnal, reversionistic believer, the wife who makes bad decisions to go back to the ex-husband, the sin nature. The husband in the second marriage is perfect God. The marriage counselor in the second marriage is perfect God. So the only culprit in the second marriage is the wife, the carnal reversionistic believer. 7. Now, here's a point, and I know you ought to be able to manage this one. The believer is not perfect. The believer's not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect believer. We are not God. We are not perfect. We all sin. But when you do sin, keep short accounts. Rebound, get back in fellowship with God. Don't wait till, you know, then God says, okay, here it comes. Warning, discipline. Intensive discipline. Oh, I'm still... Well, you're dead, bucko. Now you're up here with... You're up here, and when you check out sin unto death, dying discipline, you'll be in your interim body up there, and you're going to be having a ball. Hey, this is way better than what I was going through. And you'll be having great until the rapture takes place, and then you're standing before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and then you're going to turn, in your resurrection body, you're going to turn beet red. Oh, and you're going to realize regrets. You're going to have regrets. It'll be temporary. It's not going to last for all eternity. But you'll stand before Jesus Christ, and you'll stand before Him as a loser. And you'll lose out on all greater grace blessing for all eternity. You'll be in heaven. You have a resurrection body. But at that moment, you will have total regret, because you know you're the one that made those bad decisions to live your life out of fellowship with God and by the lust patterns of the sin nature. You know what your life was. But you'll face Jesus Christ at that point, and then you'll be with Him forever and ever, but without greater grace, blessing, without crowns, without rewards. And those aren't things that are for you. They glorify God forever and ever and ever. 8. In the first marriage, we had two culprits, the old sin nature, the husband, and the unbeliever, the wife. In the first marriage, we had two culprits, the old sin nature, the husband, and the unbeliever, the wife. 9. But in the second marriage, there is only one culprit, the believer, who goes back to the sin nature, who lives in the cosmic system, who puts himself back under authority of the old sin nature. So in the second marriage, there's only one culprit, the believer, who goes back to the sin nature. 10. Therefore, there is a conflict inside of every believer. Every church age believer. There is a conflict inside of every believer between the old sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, who is the marriage counselor of the second marriage. And both the old sin nature, the old sin nature is in the body. And that's why we have the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in our body as well. Turn over to Galatians 5. In this passage, we've gone to these before. They're extremely important to understand, know, believe, and live your life in light of them. Galatians 5:16. So I say, and this is the imperative mood, walk by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And walk means live your life by the power of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sin nature. They are, and the word here in the Greek, they are at war with each other. They are at war with each other so that you do not do what you want. So again, point 10. Therefore, there is a conflict inside of every believer between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit, the marriage counselor of the second marriage. The believer, the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ, makes bad decisions and returns to the first husband, the sin nature, by sinning, getting out of fellowship with God, and now living in Satan's cosmic system. This is a cosmic death. And if you stay in cosmic death long enough, you will go from cosmic death. In cosmic death, you could also call it carnal death, cosmic death. You will go from carnal death, cosmic death, to the sin unto death. The only weakness in the second marriage is the believer. Not the Lord Jesus Christ, the second husband. He is God and perfect God. Not the Holy Spirit, the marriage counselor of the second marriage. He is God and perfect God. So the only weakness in the second marriage is the believer. So Romans chapter 7, verse 14 emphasizes the fact that there is an inner conflict as long as we live in this life. And we all have this war going on inside of us. We all do. There's a war going on inside of you between your ex-husband, the sin nature, and the marriage counselor of the second marriage, God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 and 17. We all have this war going on inside of us. Everyone still has the sin nature in his body. with its lust patterns. Every one of us has this issue. Everyone has weaknesses and failures. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all failed. We have all sinned. The Apostle Paul may be the greatest believer of all time. He failed. He got into reversionism. And he recovered. Rebound and reversion recovery. So there is failure on the part of all of us. The sin nature with its lust patterns is the tempter. But when we make bad decisions and say yes to those temptations, then we are the culprit. So there's only one culprit in the second marriage, the wife, the believer, living the carnal reversionistic life. So again, verse 14 says, certainly we know that the Mosaic law is spiritual, but I am carnal when I have been sold back into slavery under the rule of the sin nature. All right, now the rest of chapter 7, Romans 7, 15 to 25, we have the attacks of the ex-husband, the sin nature, and the great war inside of you that results. But first, let's go verses 15 to 17. In Romans 7, 15 to 17, we have the first attack of the ex-husband, the sin nature. Now, you know I go so fast. Yeah, I know. Not. I'm going to give you the corrected translation of verses 15 to 17 now, so you get the whole thing of the first attack. Verse 15. For what is working out of me, that is what I am producing, sin, human good and evil, I do not understand. For what I desire to do, wish to do, want to do, these things I am not practicing or accomplishing. But what I detest and hate, these things I keep on doing. Now, if I keep on doing this very thing that I absolutely do not desire to do, I agree with the law, the Mosaic law, that it is honorable, praiseworthy, unobjectionable. But in this situation, I am no longer the one performing it, but the old sin nature, which keeps on living in me. See, now some of you are going to say, it's not my fault. It's that lousy. And then Olson, you'll probably call it the Olson nature in you. That's even worse than the old sin nature, the Olson. So there's previews of coming attractions here. All right. Verse 15. For that which I do, I understand not. This is the postpositive conjunction gar plus the nominative singular neuter of the relative pronoun host plus the present middle indicative of kot er gadzomai, plus the present active indicative of gnosko with the objective negative oo. All right. Postpositive conjunction gar is the explanatory use of gar and is correctly translated for. The explanatory gar is explaining why the believer is now the culprit after salvation by making bad decisions to live the carnal reversionistic life. The nominative singular neuter of the relative pronoun hosts, and the neuter is ha, is correctly translated what. And then we have kot er gadzomai. Okay, Al, I thought this was never going to show up again. No, this, you see, that is not important. Kader Gazamai, that is important. That web root is not important.
I agree. I apologize.
Okay. No problem. We'll just cut off one arm. Kater Gazamai, K-A-T-E-R-G. A-Z-O-M-A-I. Kat Ergadzomai. One, Kat Ergadzomai means to achieve or to accomplish. To achieve or to accomplish. Two, it also means to bring about, to produce. Three, it means something on the inside working its way out. Something on the inside working its way out. That's Kater Gadzamai. Four, what is on the inside of every believer is the sin nature with its lust pattern. What is on the inside of every believer is the sin nature with its lust patterns. Five, when the believer makes the bad decisions to live the carnal reversionistic life, then the sin nature with its lust patterns works its way out, producing sin, human good, and evil. When the believer makes the bad decisions to live the carnal reversionistic life, then the sin nature with its lust patterns works its way out, producing sin, human good, and evil. The present tense has linear action start. The carnal reversionistic believer keeps on producing sin, human good, and evil. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The indicative mood is declarative, a dogmatic fact of the God-breathed scriptures. And then we have the verb gnosko with the objective negative ou. Gnosko with ou. That's G-I-N, long O-S-K, long O, gnosko. Gnosko means to know or to come to know. It may also mean to learn, to ascertain, to find out. And then it comes to mean to understand or to comprehend. And this is how it's used in our verse, to understand. But it's with the objective negative ooh, which slams the door. I absolutely do not understand. So we have, for what is working out of me, what I am producing, sin, human good, and evil, I do not understand. For what I would, I want to do, I'm not doing it. So we'll pick up that after we take a break. So far, for what is working out of me, what I am producing, sin, human good, and evil, I do not understand. All right, we'll take a break and pick it up here after the break.